Amen. And I'm just kidding about the bus part, but I would like to have a good CD. Levi's got another song that he sang for us today that he just has written this week, Rejoice in the Lord. Boy, and it is mighty, mighty good. And as soon as he gets the music done on it, he'll be playing that for us. I think he's got 6 or 8 songs total now that he's written. As soon as he gets them all done, the Rochesters are going to produce him a CD. And I think that'll be a tremendous blessing. 1 Kings chapter number 17 tonight. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Won't keep you long tonight. This will be about like a fat boy crawling through a barbed wire fence. Just 3 points and I'll be through. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 17. I said that up in New York and the lady got mad. She didn't like that. She don't know much about barbed wire fences and fat boys. Amen. Amen. If you ain't never got snagged crawling through a barbed wire fence, you didn't grow up around here. Amen. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Going to look at some familiar scripture. We preached from here just a few weeks ago about proving God and who God is. But as I was working on that message, the Lord reminded me of a thought, and I'd like to visit it for just a few minutes tonight. Very, very simple. It's so simple, if you don't listen, you won't get it. The Bible said in 1 Kings 17, in chapter number 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be, I hope you're looking with me at verse number 4. He said, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Say the last word with me. There. Let's look at that verse again. He said, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Say it again. There. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. I heard a preacher on television a while back talking about diet and how we ought to eat. And according to this verse, I guess if God's going to feed a man, he knows how to feed a man. He fed him 2 meals a day. Is that right? I'd say we're overeaters, wouldn't you? Amen. I said, that ain't got nothing to do with the message. I just thought I'd throw it out. The Bible said it came to pass after a while that the brook, say those 2 words with me, dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Dwell where? Dwell where? There. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman where? There to sustain thee. And you know the story goes on about the cruse of oil and the barrel of meal that wasted not. She said, I've got just a little bit of food. I'm going to make it for me and my son and we're going to die. He said, no, make me a cake first and then make for yourself. You know the story. The Lord blessed. Now, let me make just a couple of statements. We'll get right to the message tonight. I don't believe God would have sustained Elijah anywhere but there. I don't believe God didn't say, Elijah, just want you to wander around, and when you see a place that looks good to you, just hang out there and I'll send the ravens there to feed you. God had already, now pay attention to your Bible, God had already ordered the ravens before he commanded Elijah. The ravens already had their orders. Had Elijah went somewhere else, he'd have starved, and the birds would have had nobody to feed. Because you can just about bet if God tells an animal to do something, it'll do it. I know people who has dogs more obedient than some children I see around here. Amen. Brother D. Dyer's here tonight. He's got a Jack Russell Terrier that is, He's a sight. You just have to get around old Skip to see how that dog is. That dog loves to chase a cat more than anything in the world. And Dee pull up on the job. Maybe a man had a cat, and Dee told that dog, left the door open, said, "Don't you get out of here and chase that man's cat." That dog sat right there in that truck. Amen. Most of us, our kid wouldn't stay there 5 minutes. It's just amazing to me to see how God controls nature. Amen. He can speak to an animal. Hallelujah, isn't that a blessing? I mean, you read that through the Bible. He caused a donkey to talk, didn't he? He had a whale to swallow Jonah. He had a rooster to crow for Peter. I mean, boy, God used him. I believe he's the original Dr. Doolittle. Amen. He talked to the animals. Amen. And they listened to him. Hallelujah. And I just thought I'd point that out. That's amazing. But God had a place specifically prepared for Elijah. And God said, "I want you to go." He told him the exact brook to go to, the brook beside Cherith, or the brook Cherith. He said, "That's where I want you to go, and you wait right there, for these ravens are going to come by, and they're going to feed you."
Amen.
Amen. Well, the brook dried up. You ever had your brook dry up? You know what God did? God said, "That's all right. I got another there. If it dries up here, I've got another there." Had a fella tell me one time, I've heard this a lot of times over the years, people come to our church and say, "Preacher, I'm just not being fed. We are starving to death where we're going to church." Brook dries up. Amen. Now sometimes that not being fed can go a couple of ways. Sometimes it could be that you're already full when you get here and you don't have an appetite. Amen. Could be that you've developed an appetite for something else. A lot of kids don't like vegetables, but they'll eat a hot dog. By the way, that's what most churches are serving today. Y'all all right? Got a bunch of hot dogs out there, and that's what they're giving. Hot dogs, popsicles, ice cream. Everything's warm and fuzzy. Nobody wants no broccoli and green beans. Gravy and biscuit, bless God. Amen. Hey, they might buy some preaching this right here. Hallelujah. Amen. But a lot of times the preaching changes. You know what I do occasionally? Occasionally, now somebody said, "Brother Eddie, your preaching's changed." Yeah, it has. The older you get a little bit more wisdom. I mean, I used to say things that's really stupid. You think I'm bad now. But I'll listen to myself on tape from years ago and go, "I can't believe I said that." I used to stand in the pulpit and say, "Lord, Lord," pray before I preach, "God, if I start to tell these people something wrong, kill me." I'm glad God doesn't hear and answer every prayer, ain't you? Amen. But I'll go back and check myself, Brother Stacy, to make sure I'm still what I started out as. You all right? What are you saying? It's my job to see to it that the brook don't dry up. Let me say it again. It's my job to see to it that the brook don't dry up. And hey, by the way, it don't dry up when I go out of town. We have great preaching in this place. Amen? Hallelujah. Wednesday night I'll be in Connecticut, Plainville, Connecticut. Somewhere near Hartford. I'll be over there preaching in a meeting. You know what? My son Levi will get right here in this pulpit. And you won't miss me a lick. Sometimes I think y'all like it better when I'm gone, because I come home and all you do is brag about whoever preached while I was out of town. And I thought, "Lord, you ain't bragged on me in 15 years. Amen. Amen. Y'all all right? I'm glad the brook's still flowing. Then they said again, I'm glad the brook is still flowing. I'm glad the ravens are still coming by. Amen. I love it when the ravens show up. I heard an old preacher at Sammy Allen's years ago. I'm trying to remember his name. He is from the woods in Kentucky somewhere. And he preached. Here was the title of his message. Ha! 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 That's what he preached on. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming by and supplying our need. Hallelujah. I'm glad we're in a place where the Holy Spirit has liberty to move. Amen. Sometimes you may not get what you need in the preaching, but you might get it in a song. Amen. Hey, you don't get blessings out of. All right? That's what most churches are going to. Ain't happening around here. Y'all all right? I'm scared to death of it. Y'all all right? One young lady, and I just took this stand for years. One young lady came to me. She said, "Preacher, I got a song to sing." I said, "Get with Brother Todd and he'll play it." She said, "No, I've got it on tape." I said, "No, get with Todd, he'll play it." Y'all all right? What are you saying, preacher? I want the brook to flow. I want the brook to flow. I said, I want the brook to flow. I don't want to dam it up either. You dam it up, it gets still and stagnant. It's got to have some coming in. Glory to God, it's got to have some going out. Hallelujah. A lot of these deeper life churches, all they got's a bunch of knowledge and ain't nothing going out. You know what they are? They're stagnant. And a dog's got better sense than to drink that water. Y'all listening? He said, "Elijah, go to the brook and I'll sustain you there." When the brook dried up, "Elijah, it's okay. Go to Zarephath. I've got a widow woman, and I'm going to sustain you there." In other words, God said, "Elijah, I've got a purpose for you there. Elijah, my power is there. Elijah, my provision is there. And if you don't follow my specific direction and go there, you're going to miss the boat." Amen. I don't know how many times the Lord has given me a message and specifically had people in my mind that message was for. Guess what happens almost every time the Lord does that? They ain't there. They're not there. I've had people come to me and had counsel with me. "Preacher, help me to tell me how to decide what to do about this." Preacher, I think the greatest counseling you'll ever get is in the preaching. I don't mind talking to you at church. Let me say it again. The greatest counsel you'll ever get is in the preaching. I don't know how many times I've had somebody say, "Preacher, can I talk to you after church tonight?" And as soon as the service is over, I said, "You want to meet in my office?" "It's okay. You answered it." Amen. That's why being at church is important. Amen. If this is your there, if Happy Valley is your there, if God said, "Go to Happy Valley and I'll sustain you there," it might be important that you be there when it's feeding time. You know what I bet? I doubt Elijah sat in the same place 24 hours a day. You can't make me believe that. He didn't just go sit down on a rock by a creek and just sit there. He didn't do that, but he knew what time them crows was coming. Amen. He knew what time. He knew when that was coming. He knew what time the crows came by, and he made sure. He didn't get big lunch down at Hardy's. He's only getting 2 meals a day. I guarantee you he showed up for both of them. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all eat 3 meals a week? That's all you eat. 3 meals a week. You'd die, wouldn't you? I tell you what, I could make a book tonight. You want to get rich in America? Write a book on how to lose weight. Come up with a new diet, get you an infomercial, and you're a millionaire. I got it guaranteed. Y'all back me on this, put the money up, we'll make money, pay this place off. Here it is, guaranteed, dynamic weight loss system. Feed yourself physically like you feed yourself spiritually. Watch the pounds disappear. Y'all all right? Some people put that Bible up on the arm when they leave on Sunday. They carry it home, they got a place where it lays at the house. That's where it's at till Wednesday, they pick it up again. Go back home, that's where it stays till Sunday. Only time it's read is when they're following along with the preacher. You said, "How do you know that's true?" Because I watch when I say turn to such and such. I can hear those pages turning. And when I hear you turning through the entire Bible looking for the book of John, I know you're not real familiar with it. Somebody help me. Hey, it's time to eat. Pull up to the table, but we got to be where the food's being dished out. Yeah. Amen. God had a there for Elijah. When there dried up, God had another there for Elijah. Amen. As long as the Spirit of God's on this earth, God will have a place you can get fed. Can I say that? As long as the Spirit of God's on the face of this earth, there'll be a place where you can be fed. Now listen,
just as sure as God had a there for Elijah, God has a there for you. That first there, that was a place of God's purpose. That was a place of God's purpose. You know what God was doing by the brook? He was preparing the prophet. Are you listening? By the brook, hey, God had to get Elijah. Hey, I had a there in my life early, 4 years old. 4 years old, Jay Bice put me on a bus, hauled me to church. White Oak was my there. Let me say it again. White Oak Springs was my there. God put that place there when I needed it the most. My daddy had just left me and my mother 9 months pregnant with my little sister. God looked down from heaven and said, they need a there in their life. They need a there. They need a place where I can bring them and sustain them. I've got plans for that little boy. When I stood in my living room door that Saturday morning in my underwear, 4 years old, looking at a man with a handful of bubble gum, and he invited me to get on that bus. I doubt he'd ever crossed his mind he was fixing to put his pastor on a bus and bring him to church. Been one of the greatest honors of my life was to be his pastor. But I had to have a there. I had to have a there. This there was so Elijah could find God's purpose for his life. You need that there. Because there is a purpose for your life. Y'all with me? God, just as sure as God made you, He made you for something. I look at some folks and wonder, what in the world were you thinking? But He made you for a reason. God didn't just haphazardly put you on this earth. Jonah, our youngest grandbaby, there's one of those little games at the house. It's a little box that opens up and it's got a different shapes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And you get the right shape in the hole and it makes a little bloop, makes a little noise. And he loves that. But I'll watch that young and he'll sit there and there's one shaped like a star. And I'll watch him try to beat that thing in that round hole. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, boy, he'll get mad. He'll push that thing, that round hole. And I'll say, Jonah, it don't go in that one. Of course, he's got a little bigger now, but when he first started doing that, I'd point to the right hole, and he'd put it in there, and he'd go, bloop, and he'd go, yeah. You know what he had to do? He had to find where that piece fit. Now, what God's doing with some of you right now, He's got you in His place of purpose for you to find out which hole you fit in. We've got too many Christians who are star-shaped trying to force yourself into a round hole. Y'all all right? What we need to be doing instead of getting so frustrated trying to force and make this work is say, God, I need to show you to show me what your real purpose for my life is. God didn't give you that for a karaoke bar. You know what most of them country music singers, you know where they started? God didn't give them that for the bar. You know what they're doing? Oh, they look like they're having a wonderful life, but oh, I wish you could see under the cover. They're trying to force a star in the round hole. They're trying to put a square peg in a round hole, and friend, it just won't work. When you find that there in your life, when you find that place that's there, and you see how well that thing perfectly fits your life, it will blow your mind. I got saved, got called to preach. I had in my heart's desire, I wanted to be an evangelist. Travel this world, peel everybody's hide, and leave it with the preacher. Amen. Cocky, thought I knew it all. I thought that's, and then boy, God started giving me a heart to pastor. I'll never forget. There's been three major instances in my life, my theirs. Three major ones. The day I got saved. The day I got saved. No doubt in my mind. The day I stepped behind the pulpit in 1993. for the very first time at Happy Valley. And I put my hand on the pulpit where all the varnish had been worn off from the years of Brother J.M.'s hand on the side of that pulpit. You call it spooky, you call it whatever you want, but when I touched that pulpit, there was something there. And God spoke to my heart and said, "You're there." If they hadn't asked me to be their pastor, they'd have missed it. You say, "How do you know?" Because the ravens have been coming by ever since. Are you listening? Them birds are still, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. He hadn't took his hand off this place. How do you know? Right there, that's how I know. I just got born again. One got saved off the buses this morning. Hallelujah, I'm still there. Amen. Somebody ought to get happy just a little bit tonight. Amen. Yeah. Woo, it's amazing to me. When you find that. Now listen. Sometimes if a pastor's got a brain in his head, he'll realize he's got people working in an area that don't fit their life. But here's the way people are. "I'm leaving that church, bless God. Brother Eddie fired me." How you fire somebody you ain't paying? But occasionally we may look and say, "I think that's a star trying to squeeze into the round hole. Maybe this star would work better in the star hole." Do you know that's my job as your pastor, to help you find there? Hey, listen, if you're a young Christian, you ain't got a clue where there is yet or what there is. There may not be a place. Y'all all right? There may be a person. I got mine there. I found her. Y'all have pushed her all the way to the back. Amen. That's my there right there, brother. Amen. I know some preachers lost their entire ministry because they put this before there. God made me a husband before he made me your pastor. Y'all all right? I don't mean that in a cocky manner. I just believe that's God's order, amen? She comes for you. Amen. God had Elijah to a place where God could prepare him. Y'all listening? This is where Elijah starts hooking up with his purpose for his life. He's just made a proclamation. Or a prophecy that it ain't going to rain till I say it is. He's just stuck his foot in his mouth. He's fixing to become a very unpopular man. He needs to get to God's place of purpose and preparation. Do you know that if the Lord had sent me to this there first, we wouldn't be here tonight? Why? I needed that there first. When I got saved, when I laid my hand on the corner of that pulpit that first Sunday, I knew it. As well as I knew I was saved. You know how when you got saved, you just knew it? I mean, it was just no doubt, no question. You knew something supernatural just happened inside you. I knew it. Thirdly, when I sat down that Saturday morning, Brother Terry, right there where you are, sitting in that balcony, Tim Noble, Robert Upton, Brother Charles, Harold Camp, and B.J. Noble walked this property with the people of the First Baptist Church showing them this building. We came through the sanctuary, and I told them, "Y'all go ahead." Something inside me got to, well, like I was having a heart attack. And the devil was sitting on my shoulder saying, "You fool. You fix to make the biggest mistake of your life." And I sat down on that pew right up there in that balcony where Terry's at, And I said, God, you got to help me. He said, you're there. I said, but God, it's $1.2 million. He said, you're there.
Amen.
Well, it feels good when you know you're there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I said, it feels good when you know you're there. Amen. There is God's place of purpose and preparation for your life. Secondly, there for Elijah was a place of God's power. Would you say Elijah was anointed with the power of God?
Amen.
We're talking about one of the biggest miracle workers in the Bible. And it wasn't him, it was God through him. Amen.
Amen.
He said it ain't going to rain. You know what? It didn't rain.
Amen.
Amen. He told that widow woman right here in this chapter, you just make me a cake first. It'll be all right. You know what? It was all right. Later on, her son died. He went and stretched out over his body, brought him back to life again. You know what he said? See? Amen. See? Woo! You know what that was? That's the power of God. You don't raise dead people without some power on your life. Listen, I don't care where you go to school. You know what they think they can do now? They think they can teach somebody to preach. They think that they can actually teach some. We can give pointers. But I can't teach you to preach. That's a gift, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, if you ain't got music, you ain't never playing that. Somebody said, well, you can do anything you want. No, you cannot. You couldn't slam dunk from the free throw line if your heart, that was your, you couldn't do it with a trampoline. But Spud Webb did, and he is that tall. What are you saying? Gift. Let me tell you what you can do. Whatever God asks you to do. You can't do whatever you want to do. But whatever God puts in your heart to do, bless God, if He can call you, He can equip you. I'm not against school, but I hate what it's done to our churches. We programize God out the back door. I'm too old school sometimes, I think. We don't get together before church. Brother Eddie, what hymns do you want me to sing? We don't do that.
Amen.
We don't plan out what specials they're going to sing. The only thing that's planned out about our services is what I'm going to preach, and that changes sometime.
Yeah.
I've had it change sitting in that chair right there. Are y'all listening? What are you saying? I want God's power. I don't want to depend on my ability or my knowledge of how to run a service. I want God at the wheel of this thing, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, camp meeting, youth rally. I want God to be in control. We need His power.
Amen.
We got His purpose. I know His purpose. I know what God built me for. He built me to preach. Amen. I've had people ask me to, in these, some of these little Bible colleges around, Brother Eddie, why don't you come over and teach a book of the Bible for us? You don't want me to come teach a book. God, call him. Because when I teach, this is what you get. I got one mode, wide open. Amen?
Amen.
Well, really two, wide open or dead stop. Bobby Skirm asked me to come over to Maranatha several years ago and teach the book of 1 Corinthians. I like to preach myself to death. He said, I didn't ask you to come preach. I said, that's all I got, Doc. I got a set of lungs and a backbone and a love for this book and a love for God. He put it in there. It's coming out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know my purpose. I got that.
Amen.
I found that at White Oak, my first there. Amen. But you know what I found out? When I got to my second there, I need His power. I need, listen, anybody with the call of God to preach can preach once every 6 months. When I started pastoring and had to preach three times a week, I thought, dear God, how do I do this? I got to come up with something three times a week. You know what I said? God, I need some help.
Yes,
I need your touch. I need that unction of the Holy One. I need the power and the Spirit of God to rest on this pulpit every time I take it.
Amen.
Listen, man, I say it all the time, that you can go up here to the Cadillac place in Carrollton and you can buy you a brand new Cadillac DeVille, $65,000 automobile. You can take that thing home, put it in your garage, and you got a brand new Cadillac. But without gas, all you're going to do is toot your horn and flash your lights.
Amen.
You can make some noise in the show, but you ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
You're like a hamster on a wheel. We need the power of God.
Amen.
Hey, more than a praise and worship band, we need the power of God. More than a concert, we need the power of God.
Yes.
More than smoke and mirrors, we need the power of God.
Yes.
Y'all hang a disco ball in here, I'm out of here.
Yes.
Y'all okay?
Yes.
If that's what you want, go home and watch Saturday Night Fever. I don't know. Amen. I want the power of God. When them youngins get up to sing, I want the power of God. When that youth choir, Lord willing, next Sunday night, Todd's changing the shift. He'll be here at youth choir sing next Sunday night. Are y'all excited? Pay attention to me. Y'all excited? Amen. Hey, I'm fired up about it. You know what I want? You know what I care about more than I care about talent? Power of God. We went and heard a gospel group sing about a year ago. I couldn't get ready to go back. He said, I ain't going back if they're there. If I said the name, every one of you'd know exactly who they are. I'm talking about big shots. Big shots. They said, why don't you have them? We can't afford them kind of folk. But right in the middle they're singing, it's all choreographed. They turn and look at each other at the same time. And one part they're singing the song, they all kick their foot out like that.
Yeah.
This ain't Hollywood. This is church. Thank God for talent. Thank God for talent. But what is talent without the power of God? It's Nashville.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
There was a place of God's purpose, but there was the place of God's power.
Amen.
Hey, listen. When Elijah prayed, stuff happened. I ain't talking about little stuff, big stuff. Them old prophets of Baal, they played church. They screamed at their God all day long from morning till noon. They got so tore up, they started cutting themselves. Read it. It's right there. You know what Elijah did? Elijah did what some of you get mad at me for. He made fun of them. It never fails. I make fun of some TV preacher or some quack. Ah, he shouldn't say things about other people. Somebody ought to.
Amen.
Somebody got to point that crowd out. Elijah said, what's the matter, boys? Maybe your God's asleep. Peradventure, he's on a trip. Maybe y'all ought to cry louder.
Yeah.
After a while, still nothing happened. Elijah said, enough. Prayed a little. What was it? 60-something words. 63 words. I believe the whole time he prayed. He started off at that altar. I believe the whole time he was praying, he had one eye open and was backing up. He knew fire was fixing to fall. Hey, sometimes we come in here and we just get through a service. It's okay to be that brutally honest. Some days we come in here and spiritually, you ain't got it and I ain't got it. But we have church and do the best we can. I like what Larry Brown did one time. I've never had that much guts. It may just be craziness. And he come in church on a Sunday night and they started singing and wasn't nobody singing. After about three verses, Brother Larry came to the pulpit and he went, chalk this up to the devil. Let's go to the house. He walked out the door. Crazy. Hey, we have those kind of services, but the majority of the time, it's on. The majority of the time, it's on. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the power of God. God's moving and working in this place. I'm glad I'm there where the power is.
Yeah.
Listen, they call this great invention up here a monofilament light bulb. was it Charles Edison? Somebody help me. Thomas Edison. Somebody Edison. said he tried, I forgot how many times, I'm just going to guess at a number, it was a whole bunch. He said, they asked him, what did you learn in 600 times of trying to make the incandescent, that's what they call it, light bulb? He said, I learned 599 ways how not to make a light bulb. I thought that's pretty good thought there. But you know what? That light bulb without that socket ain't nothing. You take a light bulb when the power goes out at your house and walk around with it. You're going to bump into it. That thing's fragile. You can't even bump it. Sound like some of y'all, don't it? Got to be real careful how close I get to you. It might blow your bub. Amen. But you get that thing screwed in to where some power is. Woo! You ever stuck your finger in a lamp light socket when there wasn't no bulb in it? Don't. If you hadn't, don't. If you have, I ain't got to worry about you doing it again. It ain't got to be on. It'll light your rear end up. Your hair will glow.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, listen. We can have some power, and we can glow, but it won't be our light. It'll be the light coming from that power.
Amen.
We just got to make sure we're there where the power's at.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. I like it when the visitors get scared.
Amen.
Oh, you would have been here when we first come in this building. When we first got here, and I love them dear people, God bless their heart, but the First Baptist Church, their new building, they didn't have their CO, their certificate of occupancy. They couldn't have church there. So guess where they came?
Amen.
They came here. At first Sunday morning, we had a pile of them. And our choir was off the hook. Tammy Austin got to singing under his wings. I knew as soon as she started singing that song, oh no, we are in trouble. Usually it's the preaching that freaks people out. Not that morning. Diane Camp was sitting right over there about where my daughter Ashley is, and somewhere in the middle of that song under his wing, she stood up and clapped her hand and said, woo! I was afraid we was going to have to call the ambulance. I just knew we was going to have to get Tanner Medical up here quick because these folks is about to die. Their eyes was that big around, they was looking at one another. Hey, we had fellowship when the choir come down. And when I said, appreciate the good time of fellowship, let's all find a seat, I looked around, half of them was gone. I ain't talking about upset. I'm talking about gone. I don't want to be where the Spirit and the power of God's a scary thing. I don't want it to be where the Spirit and the power of God never moves and nobody ever goes to the altar. Somebody said, why does everybody go to the altar before you even preach? God don't need me. Y'all all right? I like it like that. I wouldn't go to church where nobody never went to the altar.
Amen.
I wouldn't trust a mechanic who never put a car on the lift, would you? I wouldn't trust a mechanic who never raised a hood. Hey, this is a shop right here. You know what's supposed to happen in church? You know what church is for? It's like God's body shop. We go out there and we get banged up during the week. Some of y'all come in here this morning beat to death. Had all kind of wrecks and crashes this week. We come in here and it's the power of God that reveals to us what's wrong. And we get on that altar and say, God, I can't fix this, but I need your help. We come in like this. Glory to God, we can leave like this. But you got to be there. And don't get me wrong, I'm not so stupid to believe this is the only there in Villarica. There's some good churches in this place. I got the Villarica phone book out, or the Carroll County phone book out. It's been several years ago, so I'm sure it's way more. There were over 90-something churches in this county. I'm talking about you sitting in the buckle of the Bible Belt. Now, they ain't all of them preaching the gospel. There's a good many that are. I'm here to tell you, there's some good preachers in this area.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Steve Swofford's a good man.
Yeah.
And he's my friend. Y'all got something to say about him, don't tell it to me.
Amen.
Because I'll call him and tell him.
Yeah.
No, I won't. I'm just kidding. I'll defend him is what I'll do. Yeah. Jeff Bird's a good man.
Amen.
Shea Talent's a good man.
Yes, sir.
Y'all all right?
Yeah. Yes,
I'm just saying, you need to be where your there is. Amen. I told one fellow one day, I visited him after he had filled out a visitor's card. He was real honest, and I appreciate it. He said, I don't know if we'll be back. I said, really, did we upset you? He said, no. He said, we're just not, that's not the kind of worship we're used to. I didn't get mad. You know what I told him? I said, look, I said, I appreciate y'all visiting. But I understand our church ain't for everybody. But it's for some. Hey,
yeah.
Y'all okay?
Amen.
It's for some. Hey, you might get in a place that's not God's there for you, and everybody else in the place is getting something, and you ain't getting nothing.
That's right. Amen.
When God puts you in this place, He puts you here for a reason. Find out your purpose. Get plugged into your power source. And then thirdly, and I'm done, there was a place of Elijah's provision. I'll say it again. There was a place of God's purpose. There was the place of God's power. And there was the place of God's provision. I said it a while ago. If it had went to the wrong creek, there'd have been no ravens. There'd have been no bread and flesh in the morning, no bread and flesh in the evening. Elijah would have suffered and died in the drought like everybody else, in the famine. He'd have been ready to die just like that little widow woman and her son if he'd have been in the wrong place. I've been in some meetings before. Just a couple of years ago, I told a preacher that I was with. We were not traveling together, but we were there together. And we were eating supper after church one night. And he said, Brother Eddie, what's the matter with you? This is Brother Fisher. I said, Brother Fisher, I'm not supposed to be here. He said, I know exactly what you mean. I was just miserable all week long. Some great preachers that I love, Willard Thomas. You know Brother Willard? I wrote that poem about the footprints in the sand. Brother Willard, whoa, what? I love to be around him. Earl Hughes was there. I mean, just some great men of God, but I was miserable. Why? Everybody else was shouting, having a good time. Nothing against those people. But it just wasn't my there. They still have a great meeting every year, but it's not my there. Why, preacher? I wasn't getting any provision. You get where God wants you to be, and He'll feed you. I've watched some of your lives over the past few years, and God's provided for you, and God's fed you, and you've grown. Amen. If you stay in a church any length of time and you hadn't grown, it's either the preacher's fault or yours. Has God provided for you? Boy, He's been good. He's been good. Let me close with this question. Are you there? You may be like our family. We used to travel every year, first full week of December. I preach a meeting in Waldorf, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. We had an old Suburban. We'd leave on Sunday night as soon as church was over and drive all through the night. And every time the kids, one of them would wake up, my wife would dope them up with something so they'd sleep. Benadryl or something, I don't know. But the kids would be asleep, and she probably didn't want me to tell that. One of the kids would wake up, and you know what they'd say? Are we there yet? You know what we could honestly look back and say? We're closer. If you're not there, are you headed in that direction?
Amen.
We'd take turns driving. We were on our way to Waldorf, Maryland. I'd been asleep in the passenger seat. We got off to get gas. I woke up long enough to pump the gas, and I called back in the passenger seat and went right sound back to sleep. I woke up about an hour later, got my eyes cleared up a little bit, and I started watching the signs on the interstate. I said, "Honey, where are you going?" She said, "Maryland." I said, "It's that way." She got on the interstate the wrong way and was headed back toward the house. The kids say, "Are we there yet?" "Nope, we're further away than we was the last time you asked." Are you there? Are you there? I believe Brother Atkins was talking to me the other day. I believe for this period in him and his precious wife's life, I believe they're there. I believe they're there. Me and my son was talking about it today. I believe God put you here. I do with all my heart. And I thank Him for it every day. I believe they're there. I believe I'm there. Brother Charles, I believe you're there. I really do. Stacy, I know you're there. They'd run you off anywhere else. I believe I'm there. Brother Warren, I believe you're there. Are you there? Is this your there? Now be careful. You can be there and not be there. Most people leave the church a long time before they leave it. Can I say that again? Some of you are here, but you're not here anymore. You used to weep a little every now and then. Come to the altar. You're here in body, but your mind and your spirit's gone somewhere else. Don't be there and miss it. Those crows came by every day, Brother Charles. I believe same time, not clockwork. Elijah didn't have to eat what was being brought. He could have stayed right there and starved to death in the will of God for his life. Are you there? Not only are you there in body, but are you there in spirit? If you're not there, are you trying to get there? Are you headed in that direction? Sometimes you get away from God, and getting back is not just... it's a trip. It's a journey. The prodigal son, the Bible said he went into the... what kind of country was it? Far country. Far country. When he stood up at that hog pen that morning and said, "How many of my father's servants have more than enough? I will arise, go into my father, and say to my father, I've sinned against God and in thy sight." He made the decision. Then he had to make the journey. He got right in his heart, but he had to put his feet to work. And he had to go in that direction. And you know what he found out? When he turned down that driveway, and that old man sitting on the porch saw that boy coming down the road and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Amen. Said, "Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Put the best robe on him. Kill a fatted calf. My son, which is dead, is now alive."
Amen.
I bet the old boy thought it was worth the journey.
Amen.
You know what he thought? He said, "I'm going to say to my father, just make me as one of your hired servants. I don't have to have sonship anymore. I just want to eat." His daddy said, "You out of your mind. You my boy." That ring they put on his finger, it wasn't just a ring. It was an insignia. It bore that family's crest. It said who he was. I'm glad every time I've got up from the pig pen and made that journey back, he's received me as a son every single time. Are you there? Are you at least headed there? Are you going in the wrong direction altogether? Let's stand our feet tonight. Miss Janice, if you'd come. While she's coming, we'll go ahead and have the altar call, and then we're going to take up a love offering for this young family right here.